A Girl Called Nine by Jill B. Adair. Charlie lifted others by facing her life and death with courage and a sense of humor. 17-year-old Charlie Hawkins loved life. A member of the Cullumber Ward, Gilbert, Arizona stake, she could always find something positive in the most difficult situations. Even when she faced her life's hardest challenge of being diagnosed with cancer, Charlie kept smiling and found things to laugh about. Charlie's battle began at age 15, when a small bump appeared on her left index finger. She thought it was simply a result of practicing her golf swing as she prepared to play on the girls' golf team at Gilbert High School. When she had the bump removed, test results showed that Charlie had a very rare and very aggressive form of cancer, known as epithelioid sarcoma. The only effective treatment was surgery. Charlie's finger was quickly removed. Charlie handled the situation with humor instead of despair. She nicknamed herself Nine and never hid the fact that one finger was missing. 5 months later, during a routine test, doctors discovered spots in her lungs. The cancer had spread. They explained that chemotherapy wasn't usually successful with this type of cancer and that it was impossible to remove the tumors. Charlie decided to give chemotherapy a try anyway. The treatment made her lose her hair, but she refused to wear a wig and didn't like hats. She told others that she might be the only nine-fingered, bald-headed girl they'd ever meet. In January 2004, she celebrated what she called her handiversary. It had been 1 year since her finger was amputated. She and her friends wore matching nine T-shirts. She made hand-shaped sugar cookies with pink frosting and one finger missing. Charlie attended 2 weeks of her senior year in the fall of 2004, but was too sick to continue. She had her heart set on graduating from high school, so she got her class assignments by email and continued to work toward her diploma. Charlie's health progressively declined. The family set up a Christmas tree in her bedroom and celebrated Christmas around her bedside. Her young women class often came to visit her. Despite her trials, her friends and family never heard her complain. By January 2005, Charlie's strength was nearly gone. Sister Hawkins recalls a conversation she had with her daughter when Charlie was in excruciating pain. Charlie said, "I'm ready to go." Her mother says she felt the Spirit guiding her as she explained to her daughter that Heavenly Father has a moment for each of us and that her moment was near. Then she felt the Spirit feel her daughter and ease her pain. Charlie said, "I'm ready to go home." When she added the word home, "I knew that she knew that this place is only temporary," says Sister Hawkins. "The veil must have been so thin that she felt safe because she knew that place was her home. It brought me such comfort and peace. I knew then that I had to let her go." The next day at school, classmates celebrated Charlie's second handiversary without her. They lined up for a photo with a sign saying, "We love you, Nine." Charlie's family provided the four-fingered cookies. 4 days later, on January 25th, an assistant principal from Charlie's school called to check on her. When she learned that Charlie wasn't doing well, she asked if the administration could come and present Charlie's diploma to her that afternoon. At 2 p.m., Charlie received recognition for what she had worked so hard to achieve. Less than 45 minutes after her private graduation ceremony, Charlie died. Her life had touched so many. More than 1,500 people attended her funeral. She had an amazing attitude, a spirit that just radiated, and a great sense of humor, says her mother. That carried her, and that carried us. Charlie's influence is still being felt. The family continues to hear from those who say her example encourages them to be better and to improve their lives. Some of her friends who are serving missions are using their experiences with Charlie to help teach the plan of salvation to others. She lived every day to the fullest, says her mother. I believe she did what she was supposed to do. She knew how to live, and she knew how to die. End of the article, A Girl Called Nine, by Jill B. Adair.